Now, it's time to go deep for the exclusive info you need on the hockey team you love. This is Preds Insiders with your host, Robbie Stanley, on your flagship home of the Predators Radio Network, Smashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5.
And welcome into another edition of Preds Insiders here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Robbie Stanley here with you as always. Hope everybody's doing well. Predators back in action coming up tomorrow night as they'll take on the Tampa Bay Lightning. And a lot of things going well for the Predators right now from a results standpoint. They get a very impressive back-to-back set of wins last week on the road as they beat the New Jersey Devils at home, on the road in overtime, coming back to tie that game late, and then Ryan Johansson scoring the game winner. And then Friday night, the next night, a 4-1 win against the New York Islanders in a game where, quite frankly, they spent a lot of time in the defensive zone. Kevin Lankinen had to be really, really good, and he was really, really good in that game. And the Predators, don't look now, but they're starting to pile together the points. Really, since they came back home from the West Coast road trip, starting on November the 12th against New York, you got points in five straight at home on that homestand. You had the regulation loss to Detroit after that. And then, of course, the water main break. You don't play against Colorado. You don't play against Columbus. And since then, you followed it up with three consecutive wins. Anaheim, you win in the shootout last week. New Jersey and New York on the road as well. And then you've had a break here ever since the Islanders game on Friday where you haven't played. You've gotten some good practice time in, and you're on the way to take on the Tampa Bay Lightning tomorrow night. So the results starting to come with pretty good regularity for the Predators, which I think is obviously a good thing. Now, coupled with that, I think when you look at the way they're playing, it's still not perfect. Like I said, the Islanders game, it felt like they were holding on for dear life for a lot of that game. But you get some timely goals on the power play, get some timely goals from some of your key players. Matt Duchene looks like he's playing a little bit better lately, and the results are starting to come. So heading into play tonight, the Predators right now still outside of a playoff spot, but just barely, just 1 point behind both the Calgary Flames and the Colorado Avalanche. So some interesting stuff there. Colorado's been dealing with some injuries. They're 13-9-1 on the season, good for 27 points. Preds 1 point behind them at 26. Right now, the top three in the Central Division, Winnipeg, Dallas, Minnesota, the top three. Now, again, we're talking about points now. I mean, Minnesota's got 28 points, Colorado's got 27, and the Preds have 26. So it's all still very close in the Western Conference standings, but a lot of teams right there jumbled up together. Really, the one team in the West that separated themselves so far has been Vegas. They're at 19-7-1, 39 points. Seattle's been really good, 15-7-3 with 33 points, but Vegas really the one team that has separated itself so far in the Western Conference. So we'll see how things continue to go on that front. But it hasn't all been good news for the Predators over the course of the past week. Some injury news for the Predators this week, and we discussed that, the injury to Ryan McDonagh, which is going to keep him out 2 to 4 weeks. We had this discussion on what the impact of that could be for the Predators and what it means for the defense pairs as they move ahead here as well. Here was that discussion from yesterday on Robbie and Rex Road.
Joe, some news on the Preds front yesterday. Ryan McDonagh will be out 2 to 4 weeks with an upper body injury. He left the game against the Islanders on Friday after getting hit in the face with a puck, so that's not good. We talked about that with Max Herz a little bit yesterday as well. 2 to 4 weeks, you bring up Jordan Gross, obviously, Mark Borowiecki, still dealing with his injury, so he had to make a call up down in Milwaukee. This is a shame for two reasons, Joe. Number one, you don't want to lose a guy to an injury for that long. But number two, like, I felt like he and Yossi were starting to get to where they were pretty darn good together. And now, all of a sudden, you had solidified your D pairs for the time being, and now you got to put them back into the shuffler. And whether that's Jordan Gross playing with Yossi and you leave the other two alone, I don't know what they're going to do on that front. Quite frankly, I don't think Jordan Gross should be playing that much if he's playing with Roman Yossi. Yeah. So I don't really know what you do there if you're John Hines, but not a great situation for the Predators having McDonagh out 2 to 4 weeks.
Yeah, you probably have to move that around, right?
I would. I don't know if they will or not. I understand the argument of, well, we feel good about Ekholm Carrier. We feel good about Lozon Fabro. Why would you mess up all three D pairs for one? I understand that, but I don't like Yossi and Gross together. I just don't.
Is it a bad idea to just like, just go back with Carrier Yossi and, you know, and just
they have to.
Yeah. Well, it is too bad because it did seem like there was some momentum there, some chemistry, kind of part of why they're. I mean, Yossi on his own, right, starting to look more like Yossi is part of why I think that they look better. But yeah, that's it's too bad because they haven't had continuity a lot because of a lot of mixing and matching and performance issues. And I mean, shoot, it wasn't that long ago we were asking the question like McDonough. A lot of mileage, a lot of long years, you know, with Tampa, and then now he's starting to look more like himself, and this happens. So we'll have to see how they. It's just there's a lot of weirdness with them, with like two long breaks, you know, in the middle of a couple games there, and this. I mean, it's just a very strange early December for the Preds right now.
It really is, and you know, you had the unscheduled break with the water main break, and now you go from playing back-to-backs Thursday and Friday to now you're off until this Thursday when you take on Tampa Bay, which, by the way, feel bad for Ryan McDonough not being able to go back to Tampa Bay with this injury too.
That does stink.
So that does
stink.
That's
too bad.
But after this, Joe, you got the Tampa game. You got Ottawa at home on Saturday. Nice afternoon start, which I'm all for. And then a big week next week. Huge week next week. St. Louis, Edmonton, Winnipeg, Colorado. That's three Central Division games and another Western Conference opponent game against Connor McDavid and company where they're all right there together in the standings. Really, the next 2 weeks, you have five Central Division games.
And it's not ideal to be missing him for that.
No.
Not great.
Not great at all. And I'm interested to see how they handle that part of it. I mean, look, the goal scoring has come on a little bit the last two games. Now, you got to keep in mind also that the goal scoring against the Islanders, yes, they scored four. They basically were in the defensive zone the entire game in that game. And they, you know, Matt Duchene pops the empty netter, then you get another one, and you win 4-1. So it's a little bit of a deceiving score in New York. You get the comeback win in New Jersey. But two games in a row where you've scored four goals, like to me, you're going to have to continue to keep that coming and keep the goal scoring building because – it is amazing. Like, I look around the rest of the league right now, and goal scoring is just up. It's been up the last couple of years. I mean, they were just showing highlights on the screen in here of Vancouver and Montreal last night in a 6-6 game in overtime. We saw last week the 9-8 fracas between the Kings and the Kraken. So goal scoring is up. If you're the Predators, you're going to have to find a way to generate more goals as you move forward here, but maybe especially so without Ryan McDonough in there as one of your best defensemen.
Hockey's getting all wild and high-scoring. Football's going the other way. I tell you what, it's all cyclical. Well, look, at least it's you know, actually a loss to have McDonough out right now.
Yeah.
You know, and then you know, I guess you could look at this as rest the legs for a while the upper body heals. And you know, maybe he'll be fresher and better when he comes back. But, yeah, the timing with some of these games ahead, certainly would like that guy out there.
Yep, and I'm interested to see how the Predators construct their D pairings. They'll be at practice again today. They practiced yesterday at Bridgestone, back at practice today at Centennial as they prepare to take on the Tampa Bay Lightning coming up on Thursday on the road. Be back at home on Saturday against the Ottawa Senators. And then some big games next week, St. Louis and Edmonton back-to-back. And then on the road at Winnipeg and Colorado as well before Edmonton comes back. So you're going to get a nice firsthand look at Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl twice in the next week at home. Be fun.
Yeah, and that's that hasn't gone well
that
lately.
Has not gone well.
Lately, that's sort of – it's like they've made up for all those years that Pecorine used to beat them like a drum.
Yeah.
I mean, it is – boy. It's like they look especially fast against the Preds.
Very very hard to contain those two guys.
So we'll see how the Predators handle things without Ryan McDonough in the lineup beginning tomorrow night against the Tampa Bay Lightning. And then a really interesting portion of the schedule coming up, as we talked about. Lots of Central Division opponents. Starting next week, you've got St. Louis, Winnipeg, Colorado all on the schedule on the road next week. Edmonton twice at home over the course of the next 2 weeks. Chicago on the road, Colorado at home, Dallas at home. Lots of very important games in the division coming up, so we'll see how the Predators handle that. Coming up next, we'll hear a conversation with Predators forward Mykhail Granlund. You're listening to Preds Insiders here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Preds Insiders here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Robbie Stanley here with you as always. Predators forward Mykhail Granlund caught up with us this morning on Robbie and Rex Road to offer his thoughts on the state of the team as they prepare to take on the Tampa Bay Lightning coming up on Thursday. Here is that conversation with Mykhail Granlund. Kyle, good morning. How are we doing?
Good morning. All good. Excited about today and going to Tampa Bay. So, exciting day.
No question about it. So, Mykhail, obviously the results are really going your guys' way of late, winning a lot of games, collecting a lot of points. What do you like about the way that your team has played over the course of the past 2-3 weeks?
There's been some good things. Obviously, we've been able to get the wins and finding a ways to win a game. I think there's still a lot of things we can improve on and get our game better. But at the same time, we're piling up points right now and we're keeping ourselves in the race to the playoffs. So, that's all that matters right now. But there's some things we can do better and maybe get our game in a better position moving forward.
Mykhail, the power play obviously hasn't been what you guys have wanted a lot of this season, but coming to life lately, is there any particular tweak or adjustment there that has made a difference, or how has that come about?
Well, obviously, there's some things we always try to improve on those ones, but a lot of times, just pucks are going in. Sometimes you're getting good looks, and puck is just not finding its way in. So, obviously, when you score, it gives you a little bit of confidence, and the next time you go out there, you're confident about the way the power play is going. So. Hopefully we can keep it up and even get better on that one.
Mykhail, what have you made of the way that Kevin Lankinen has played for you guys once he's been? I know the opportunities haven't been a huge number thus far, but he's played really well when he's been in net for you guys thus far.
Oh, he's been great. Obviously, we all know what Juus can do and how good he is. But with Kevin, we have two really good goalies right now. Obviously, we saw in New York how he played and how he won us that game. So he's been great throughout the year, and that's always as a team such a great thing when you have two goalies who can really win games by themselves.
How do you guys handle it? It's obviously just been some weirdness, Mykhail, with the flooding situation and then just kind of a strange break right now for you guys in the schedule. What has been – how have you guys sort of – kept fresh and try to keep sharp during these breaks?
I mean, it has to be a little bit weird, to be honest. Having these kind of now this break too, so it's kind of like two little breaks here. But it's just about getting when we come to rink, having good practice and getting ready for the next game, and that's all you can do. Really go day by day, and with that flooding situation, there's nothing you can really do about it. So you just gotta act like professional and do your thing and get ready for the next game whenever it is. So that's all we can do, and I think we've been doing a pretty good job with that.
Preds forward Mykhail Granlund on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So Mykhail, obviously some tough news the other day. Ryan McDonagh going out of the lineup for 2 to 4 weeks. What do you make of the way that he was playing before he got hurt, and how do you guys try to overcome that on the back end as you move forward here?
Oh, he's been really good for us. Obviously, he's such a warrior, and the way he blocks shots, and we're really gonna miss him. He's such a great guy in the locker room and all that. But he's been doing really good. He's been really important for us. The way he defends, he's such a smart player. So he's been really good, and obviously he needs to sit out for a little bit. But we'll be excited when he gets back.
What about Parsonen and the way that he's come in and played? Obviously a young guy, you're getting your first taste at the NHL level, and you have ups and downs when you're doing that. But what do you make overall of the way that he's played to this point?
I think he's been great. You can really tell he's like a young kid, but he's really mature and on the ice, he's been He's been playing in a big role in the men's league in Finland for a few years now, so you can really tell, like, his overall game is there. You know, he knows what are the things that makes you win hockey games, and you know, he's a big boy. He's been really good for us, and I'm assuming he's only going to get better from here, so he's been great for us.
Mikhail, you guys have already seen Tampa once so far this year, going on the road tomorrow to take on the Lightning. What stands out to you about this Tampa Bay team that continues to find a ways to be consistent year after year?
I mean, they really have skill up front, and the power play is really good. But as a team, they really play a hard game. They skate well, they check well throughout the lineup. So it's never going to be an easy game. And obviously, they have really good goaltenders. So it's going to be a really, really good challenge for us for sure.
Mikhail, last thing for you here, with the way that you guys have played as of late and the results that you've gotten, what's the confidence level in the locker room right now as you are about to embark on a part of the schedule where you're going to be seeing a whole lot of teams in the Central Division and a whole lot of teams right there with you in the standings in the West coming up in the next 2-3 weeks?
Yeah, we know how the schedule is. It's going to really tighten up here, and we're going to play really high stake games, you know, against the teams. We are really battling the same spot, so you know, it's gonna be a fun time. These are the fun times. You play meaningful games, and you know, everybody's really excited. But now, you know, it's all about just the next game and getting ready for that one. You can't really think too far ahead, and you know, just stay in the moment. So that's all we can do. And we have a great challenge tomorrow in Tampa. So that's what we are focusing on.
Well, Mikhail, we're looking forward to you guys getting back on the ice and playing tomorrow night in Tampa. Thanks for taking time to be with us this morning, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Thanks to Predators forward Mikhail Granlund for joining us. And I thought there were several different things that were really interesting that Granlund had to say. I'm really fascinated with Kevin Lankinen, and I think it's one of the really good stories in the NHL so far this year. And I know it's been a limited sample size for Kevin Lankinen at this point. He's only played in 7 games. But you take a look at his numbers. He's 3-3, which I think doesn't accurately reflect the way that he's played, but he's got a 2.27 goals against average and a .934 save percentage so far for the Predators. He's been excellent. I mean, and there's really no other way to put it, and I thought for sure his best game was last time out against the Islanders. He was awesome in that game. And I think back to the offseason, we celebrated the Nino Niederreiter signing here on this show on Robbie and Rex Road. We celebrated the Ryan McDonough signing, and I think deservedly so for both of those guys. I mean, McDonough was a trade, but deservedly so. I mean, we know what McDonough has been in this league, and I think the unfortunate part about his injury is he was really starting to come around and play really well for the Predators. We know what Niederreiter's been in this league. I think he's been that for the most part with the Predators so far this year. But Lankinen, I mean, you looked at his numbers a year ago in Chicago, and they were awful. I mean, you can go by really whatever stats you want to go by. Traditionally, I mean, what did he have last year? An .891 save percentage, which is not very good, and a 3.6 goals against, or 3.6 adjusted goals against, and the numbers were bad last year. So you looked at both the traditional stats, some of the analytic numbers for Kevin Lankinen, and yes, he played on a very bad Chicago team, and their defense was atrocious in front of him. But it was also where the analytics and the underlying numbers would tell you that Kevin Lankinen was bad too. But the Predators, to their credit, they saw something in Kevin Lankinen. And David Poile, you know, talked about the role that Pekka and that UC Saros had in getting Kevin Lankinen here and what that has looked like for them in the aftermath. Here's what David Poile had to say yesterday on Chase, Willie, and D-Mace.
Well, I mean, we knew we wanted to improve in that position, and there was quite a few goalies out there, and it's a little bit like musical chairs. If you count the goalies and then count the number of nets that are available, it's kind of almost equaled. the nets versus the goalies kind of, you know, fit the puzzle, if you will. But, you know, there was different guys in terms of ages, of experience, and with the attraction became stronger and stronger to Lankinen in terms of our like of him, in terms of our knowledge of him, watching him play, his development in Chicago, some of the highs and lows, and maybe he got to Chicago a little bit earlier than he should have. And all due respect, your team hadn't been as good in front of him as we hoped our team could be in front of our second goalie. The fact that he and Saros knew each other, they played against each other at the same age, a little bit of input from Pekka Rene in terms of what he thought of him, and again, in terms of the recruiting process, Pekka was part of that, and giving Kevin a call. So all that went into making the decision. He's, again, a real good person. Work ethic is excellent. Seems to be patient, knowing that Juice is still playing the majority of the games, but he's been just excellent every time we've put him in the net. So I think good scouting, hopefully, from a lot of people, our goaltending department, our scouts, lots of background work in terms of what we thought his potential was, and it turned out to be, so far, a real good decision for our organization.
That was David Poile on Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, and no question about it, Kevin Lankinen has been excellent so far, and that's going to be really important for the Predators as they navigate what, over the course of the next few weeks, is going to be a bit more of a condensed schedule with some back-to-backs and a lot of tough games in quick succession with each other on the horizon. So we'll see if Kevin Lankinen maybe gets some more starts as they move forward here coming up in the next few weeks. Coming up next, you'll hear a conversation with Willie Donick, get his thoughts on the Preds as they prepare to take on a really important part of their schedule coming up. You're listening to Preds Insiders here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Preds Insiders, here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game, presented by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Robbie Stanley here with you as your host. The Predators set to take on the Tampa Bay Lightning coming up on Thursday, so looking forward to that game. Predators back at it after not playing since last Friday night against the Islanders. Puck drop at 6 o'clock, pregame at 5 o'clock between the Predators and the Lightning here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game, so looking forward to that. Coming up on Thursday, we caught up with Willie Donick, who obviously is on Chase, Willie, and D-Mace here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and is the play-by-play voice of the Bally Sports broadcast for the Predators as well, to get his thoughts on the Ryan McDonagh injury, how the Predators are playing right now, and the emergence of a specific Predators player that has made all the difference in the world for the Predators in a couple of these games over the course of the past week. Here was that conversation with Willie Donick. Willie, obviously not good news for the Predators yesterday. Ryan McDonagh going to be out 2 to 4 weeks dealing with the upper body injury that he sustained against the Islanders. And it just feels particularly bad timing from a couple of standpoints, Willie. There's never a great time to lose Ryan McDonagh, but you got a lot of divisional games coming up. He's going to miss the reunion in Tampa Bay, and I really feel like he and Josi together as a pairing have played really well. What sort of an impact do you think this injury has on the Preds?
Yeah, it's a big one. I agree with that last point you made. I think it was just starting to really come together in terms of the chemistry between Ryan McDonagh and Roman Josi. ESPN showed a really good stat, and I was aware of it, but I guess I didn't really see the minutes coming together, but Roman Josi and Ryan McDonagh 5-on-5 have not allowed a goal with them on the ice, which is a pretty darn good stat. I mean, you think about it, it's not like they're dominating everything, but that's a huge stabilizing move because, as we know, they've tried Ryan McDonagh with some different guys, and it hasn't gone as well. So he was just settling into his role, I think, and now you've got to do without him for 2 to 4 weeks. And like you said, you know, that's a lot of responsibility that you tie up in a guy like that. So the depth is going to be tested big time here over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, so how would you expect the shuffling to look, Willie?
Well, earlier in the season, when Jordan Gross came up, he played a couple of games, and they did put him some with Roman Josi. But what they did was they put Jordan Gross with Josi on some occasions, and then really when the game was on the line, they sort of double-shifted Matthias Ekholm. They got creative. At times you saw Josi and Ekholm together. I would expect that you would see that quite a bit. I think Ekholm and Carrier have also settled in. If you take a look at some analytic sites, you'll see a lot of 14 and 45. That's Carrier and Ekholm at the top of some charts with their effectiveness as a duo. So you don't want to split up that pair. It's really weird because Alex Carrier has 0 points, and everybody's looking at that, and I'm dumbfounded by that as well. I don't know how that's happened. But defensively, those two have played very well together. So I think you're going to see some creativity. But it's the problem is they don't really have that next defensive phenom that they've usually had in their back pocket for a long time. The prospects are very, very good in Milwaukee at forward and obviously at goalie, but they don't really have that phenom on the way up as a defenseman.
Willie, what do you make of the way that Matt Duchene has played really over the last week and a half, 2 weeks? Do you feel like he's starting to maybe settle in and look more like the Matt Duchene we saw from last year?
Well, it's really encouraging. I think if you take a look at the last couple of games here, why have the Predators won? You know, it's not as if they dominated the game, especially the Islanders game, right? They were battling to stay alive. They had the lead, but how did they win the game? The playmakers made the play. Matt Duchene made a great cross-ice pass to Philip Forsberg, who buries a power play goal. Matt Duchene, at the end of the game, they're hanging on to a lead for dear life. What does he do? He makes a great steal just inside the blue line and is able to battle with a guy hanging all over him and buries an empty net goal. Needless to say, the Devils game. He made the great play in the corner. That's what you love seeing from Matt Duchene. If he's doing that and he's playing like a star player, it makes all the difference in the world for this team.
Willie, should the Kevin Lankinen performance so far, and I know it hasn't been a big sample size, but should that cast doubt the next time, you know, we try to evaluate like a goaltender based on both, you know, traditional stats and underlying numbers? Because everything about that move at the time said, what are we missing here? But obviously he's been very good.
I mean, he's been better than very good. I think you take a look. And like you said, Joe, we're not talking about a ton of games here, but I would contend that every single game that he's played has been better than the best game that David Rittich played all of last year. I don't know if you guys agree with that, but
totally agree.
He's playing at such a high level that not only is he giving them a great chance to win, you know, he stole the game against the Islanders. There's no question about it. He played fantastic to win if he's not dead letter perfect almost. But it's giving them the confidence to rest UC Saros, which was the goal all along. Get somebody that they could trust to play 20 games, 25 games, so that UC Saros is rested every time he goes in there. So this has been a home run pickup so far, and I agree with you. At the time that they made that signing, I wasn't quite sure about all the decision-making behind it, but you know, once you learned about it, the way that Pecorine and UC Saros kind of went to Kevin Lankinen, who they'd known for a long time, I think they both vouched for him to the organization, but they also had to sell Kevin Lankinen, who could have gone back to Chicago to start, or could have gone to other places to start. They said, this is going to be a great stop for you in your career. You're going to learn a lot, and we're going to put you in a position to succeed.
Willie Donick with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. And Willie, you've got the Tampa game Thursday and the Ottawa game after that. So two games in the Eastern Conference that you want to get points out of. And then after that, it's St. Louis, Edmonton, Winnipeg, Colorado, Edmonton, Chicago, Colorado, Dallas for the rest of this month before closing it out with Anaheim and Vegas. There's a whole lot of Central Division games and a whole lot of Western Conference games coming up. So with that being said, I realize it's December and there's still plenty of season left. But how big are these next 3 weeks for this Predators team, just based simply on who they're playing?
Well, the other thing, too, Robbie, is it's compressed.
Yep.
They have this 5-day break where we all don't know what we're doing with ourselves. And it's funny, the Predators did that little spoof on Roman Josi getting the haircut. That's what you do when you don't have a game for 5 days. You come up with crazy, batty stuff that makes everybody laugh. That was hilarious, I thought. And if you haven't seen it, take a look at the Predators' Twitter with Roman Josi deciding to cut the hair.
It's pretty good.
But, you know, I think it's going to be a race all year long. If you look at the West, the Blues lost. I find myself already checking the scores and saying, okay, who lost in the West? Because it's 11 or 12 teams deep. You know there's going to be a couple teams that have sort of bailed, and they're not trying to win anyway, like San Jose is in that mix. Obviously, Arizona and Chicago, maybe one or two other teams. Obviously, Anaheim's going through a big rebuild. But other than that, I think every game is big. But I think it's important that you're consistent through all of this. And that's where I think coming back to Lankinen with the compressed schedule, I think he's going to play even a bigger role in the coming weeks once this thing gets cranking again.
Thanks to Willie Donick for joining us. As he pointed out, it seems like Matt Duchene's starting to come on a little bit. A couple of big assists against
the New York Islanders gets the empty net goal. But really, I mean, the play of the week last week, in my mind, was his play in overtime going 1-on-3 in New Jersey and getting that puck over to Ryan Johansson. Just such an impressive play, some tenacity from Matt Duchene on that play, and he just looks like he's confident. He's making plays out there. Looks more like the Matt Duchene we saw from a year ago. And hopefully, from the Predators' standpoint, the puck starts to go in a little bit more often for him. They need goal-scoring help. They need to get more goals on the board. I know they've scored 4 in the past 2 games. They did get a couple of empty netters against New York. So, need more time with the puck. Need to get more pucks to go in for you if you're the Predators. But a good step in that right direction would be Matt Duchene playing the way that he's played over the course of the last couple of weeks. If he does that, I think you're going to find more success offensively. I mean, even the Anaheim game last week, you get to overtime, and Duchene was the one that made the play to get the puck over to Roman Josi, who scored the game winner, and you were able to skate away with a win in that game as well. So Duchene playing a critical role last week in all 3 wins, and that's what you pay your big-time money players to do. You pay them to produce. You pay them to make big plays at big times, and Matt Duchene certainly did that last week. We'll see if he can continue that trend as the Predators move forward here. Coming up next, it's time for another edition of Keezer's Corner with Nick Keezer. We'll get his thoughts on the Predators. Put this show on ice as the Predators prepare to take on the Tampa Bay Lightning coming up on Thursday. That's next. This is Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley here with you as your host, and it's time for another edition of Keezer's Corner with Nick Keezer here on the program, the rookie, as he is affectionately referred to on Chase, Willie, and D-Mace. Nick, take it away, my friend.
Indeed, it is that time, Robbie. It's another edition of Keezer's Corner. I am him, and I am back after a 5-day hiatus of the Nashville Predators not having any games. And they also had a 5-day break when the main water broke, and then they went on to lose in overtime against the Anaheim Ducks. So hopefully, going into tomorrow night's game at Tampa Bay, the Nashville Predators will not go to overtime, or needless to say, even lose after having a 5-day stretch of not playing in any hockey game. So the Predators will have a lot of things to fine-tune, and hopefully they look a lot better answering back after losing to the Lightning 3-2 in overtime back on November 19th, where we all know Steven Stamkos scored in overtime after Matthias Ekholm took a very, very dumb high-sticking penalty. So we'll see how they do against them. Looking forward to seeing how the Predators can answer the bell once again. So they've looked good recently. I know that the month of November looked kind of okay toward the end there. You know, they took down the Anaheim Ducks in overtime, like I've already mentioned. And then they also took down the likes of the New Jersey Devils and then the Islanders the very next night, where Kevin Lankinen took care of business and made 48 saves. I mean, he played one hell of a stretch of hockey, and we're very happy to see that he is someone that has been lighting it up lately, playing goal. You know, not lighting it up scoring goals, but he's been making a lot of saves here lately for the Nashville Predators. So we'll see how reliable they really think Lankinen is here down the stretch. One thing I realized was Lankinen will have perhaps 11 more opportunities on back-to-back stretches where he's going to get some game action. And I would anticipate head coach John Hines giving him a lot more opportunities aside from playing in back-to-back stretches. So we'll see what happens. Not too really sure what's going to happen in between the pipes necessarily for the rest of the season, because that's always a game-by-game basis. But moving into a headline that broke for the Nashville Predators earlier this week, and I'm sure you've already talked a lot about it, Robbie, but it's Ryan McDonagh, who got placed on injured reserve and is going to miss the next 2 to 4 weeks. And if he misses that many games, I'm not too encouraged the Preds will do well without him. And I'll get more into who's coming up for him later on before I wrap up Keezer's Corner. But the Nashville Predators are missing a huge piece that does a lot of good special teams play for them. So I'm curious to see what happens here and just what all is going to go down without him being around. So just very curious about that. But he's not going to get to return to play against his old team in person. He's going to have to face them again at home another time. So not really sure if he's going to, you know, have that opportunity anytime soon other than, you know, the one that's on Thursday night. But he's without that opportunity to see his old team again and maybe get tribute. You know, it's always the tribute video that I always waited for as a kid after someone came back to Nashville after being traded. So we'll see if he ever gets that chance to be recognized. Not really, you know, banking on like caring too much about that, but just saying here that National Predators are going to be without perhaps their second or third best defenseman this season in Ryan McDonagh. He took a shot to the face, in case you missed it, from defenseman Alexander Romanov when the Predators played against the Islanders last week. So just waiting to know if he's going to return sooner. Hopefully he does. Not really sure how severe it really is. It looked like the puck kind of caught him around the eye area maybe. But any time you get hit in the face, that sucks. That is an awful feeling. And I know that for myself growing up playing hockey here in Nashville. You don't want to get hit in a place like that or anywhere that doesn't have padding, needless to say. So the fact that he is roughing it out like that, man, that's crazy. And I'm sure he's got some stitches. I'm sure he's just been doing all that he can to take care of himself here lately. So curious to see how quick he bounces back, but just want to get on to how important he really is for the Nashville Predators. So he and Roman Josi have been paired together a lot lately. In fact, they had 104 minutes together on the ice, not allowing any goals during 5-on-5 play so far this season through 23 games. That's insane if you ask me. And not too many NHL caliber defensemen can say that they've done that this year. So that's insane. The Nashville Predators haven't always looked great on defense this year, but the fact that Roman Josi and McDonagh have not allowed a 5-on-5 goal and 104 minutes played together, that's crazy. And you're talking about probably two weeks or so where they have not given up a goal, if you ask me. I would say that's probably the best time frame, is about 2 weeks of play together, not allowing a 5-on-5 goal. But a few other things that I kind of want to pay attention to as far as McDonagh goes is he's the only Predators defenseman with a positive plus-minus rating with a +5. Like, what? Is that really true? And I had to take a, you know, I did a double take looking at this, and it was insane just thinking of, like, look, he's been a very big shutdown player for us. Sure, he's made silly mistakes here and there, but, you know, Ryan McDonagh has been very big for us on the penalty kill. And yeah, we already have pointed out he's very important during 5-on-5 play with Roman Josi. But, you know, he's not a guy that's going to score a lot of goals for you. He's not a guy that's going to pass the puck and get assists all the time. If there was ever like a third assist, I'm sure he would have a lot of those more than likely. But he just doesn't. And that's just not, that's not his style. So just, you know, that's just one big thing that stands out to me about him. Another thing is he also leads all Preds defensemen with 66 minutes played on the penalty kill. And not to mention, he's also the second on the Nashville Predators in total blocked shots with 48. And the next closest player to that being defenseman Dante Fabbro, who has 27 blocked shots. And I'm not really sure who else can step up to the plate just like McDonagh. And honestly, nobody really will. I hate to say that to Nashville Predators fans, but that's probably the case where he's probably not going to step up and be just like a Ryan McDonagh. And I don't really think anybody else on the roster is going to be playing just like him. But the man who is in for Ryan McDonagh is the reigning AHL Defenseman of the Year, and that being Jordan Gross. And Jordan Gross was a signing over the offseason that David Poile decided to make, and he's been pretty good with the Milwaukee Admirals. When he's been called up in the three games that he's played with the Predators, he's been paired with Roman Josi. So I would imagine that that's probably the temporary fix that we see here for maybe a week, maybe two. We also hope it's not the full 4 weeks necessarily, but we will see. There, you know, time will tell if that's the pairing that the Predators will end up having while Ryan McDonagh is gone. So the reigning AHL Defenseman of the Year, like I said, he is also one of three Predators defenders this year to at least score a goal. And we all know that Gross's play up in Vancouver, he scored twice. And he hasn't done anything else aside from that, but he did score twice against the Vancouver Canucks, where the Predators were awful that night. They were atrocious. Now, they did win in a shootout 4-3. So Gross did get you those two goals, but it should not have started that way. The Predators were down 3-0 in that game. In the first period, they were awful. They were horrible. So you have to wonder if the Predators are going to be any better necessarily. You know, are they going to rely on Jordan Gross to pick up the pace just like he did against the Vancouver Canucks, scoring twice? I don't think so, but we'll see what happens. It's just a Band-Aid for the time being. So we'll see how that shakes out, Robbie. But, you know, the Nashville Predators have a big game tomorrow night against the Tampa Bay Lightning. It'll be Max Herz and Hal Gill with your call down in Tampa Bay. But we'll see if the Nashville Predators can put things together against the Lightning and perhaps get their first win against them this season. So, Robbie, that's all I got. I turn things back over to you to close out the show.
Thanks, Nick. Appreciate you. So a couple of different things to keep an eye on this week as the Predators get back in action. Two Eastern Conference opponents tomorrow against Tampa Bay. Saturday at home, by the way, a matinee start Saturday, 12:30, the scheduled time for the puck drop against the Ottawa Senators. So looking forward to that. And then hot and heavy into the Central Division and the Western Conference part of the schedule next week with St. Louis, Winnipeg, Colorado, Edmonton all on the schedule. Going to see two additions of Edmonton at home over the course of the next week and a half, 2 weeks. Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, and company have been very tough to handle for literally everyone in the league and have been very tough to handle for the Nashville Predators as well. So we'll see if they can defend those guys a little bit better next week. But in the meantime, two big games against Eastern Conference opponents, quite frankly, games that if they ended up going to overtime, you don't really care about because it's the Eastern Conference and you're snagging points that way. So a little bit less of a concern that way than it'll be next week when you really want to get those wins in regulation. But the Predators obviously going into a very tough place to play on Thursday, taking on the Tampa Bay Lightning. Tampa Bay's been to three consecutive Stanley Cup finals. They've won two of those. We know what type of team they have. They don't have Ryan McDonagh anymore. They don't have Andre Palat anymore. They've had some losses to their lineup, but they're still pretty darn good. And Stamkos is playing at a high level right now. Braden Point's really good. Victor Hedman, I still think you can make an argument, is the best all-around defenseman in the league. So lots to handle. And oh, by the way, Andre Vasilevsky, who's been the best goalie in the world the last 3 years. So lots to deal with going on the road to take on the Tampa Bay Lightning. Interested to see how the Predators use things without Ryan McDonagh being in there. They'd grown into what I think was a really good, really solid defense core in terms of the way that they've been playing as of late. Ekholm and Carrier's numbers together look really good defensively. I think McDonagh and Josi defensively were starting to come into a really good way of playing, and that includes in the offensive zone with what Josi was doing there. And then Lozon and Fabro, I mean, it's a third D pair, but I think for the most part they've been okay out there. So with Jordan Gross coming up, getting the call up from Milwaukee, how do the Predators handle that in big game situations? And you heard Willie talk about this a little bit earlier in the show. When you're protecting a lead or it's a big moment defensively late in the game, do you put Ekholm and Josi back out there together? Do you trust Gross in that point? Can Gross add a little offense to a blue line that's really struggled to score so far this year? I mean, if you look at the numbers, the Predators typically over the course of really the past 10 to 15 years have had one of the more high-scoring blue lines in the league. And Roman Josi right now is doing his part. He's scoring. He's putting up the points. Really, nobody else is. I mean, there's not really anybody else that's putting up any points from the back end there. And Gross came in earlier this year, had a big game in Vancouver.
He's got some offensive pop to him. You can move him around a little bit on the power play, which I think the Predators really like. He's got some ability that way, but, I mean, even a guy like Ekholm right now, Ekholm's got one goal in the season in 23 games, 8 points. Not much offense from Ekholm so far. As Willie pointed out, Alexander Carrier doesn't have a point yet so far this year, which is just really, really strange. And you know, I think he struggled at the beginning of the year, really in every facet of the game. I do think since he's been paired with Ekholm that he's been much better defensively, but it would be great if you could get a guy like Carrier rolling a little bit offensively as well through different points in his career. He's shown the ability to do it. I mean, look, he had 30 points last year. He's got none so far this year. That's got to change. Like, he's got to start putting up some points offensively. So we'll see if Fabro can add some to the mix. He's been able to make some plays offensively from time to time in his career as well. They need more from the back end other than Roman Josi with the points that they're putting up. So we'll see if Jordan Gross can help that. And obviously, with the 2 to 4 week injury timeline with Ryan McDonough, you're hoping it's more towards the 2 week side of that if you're the Predators rather than the 4 week side of things for sure. So the Predators back at it tomorrow, taking on Tampa Bay. Pregame at 5 o'clock, puck drop at 6 o'clock here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. That's going to do it for us here on Preds Insiders. We'll be back next week. This has been Preds Insiders here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.